Lecture topic, Anecdotes from Sirah, Part 1.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Was Salatu was Salamu Alal Mabaruthi Rahmatel Lil Alameen. Sayyidina wa Mawlana Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Amma ba'du faqad qala Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala fil Qur'an al-Majid wal Furqan al-Hamid. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وقالوا لولا نزل هذا القرآن على رجل من القريتين عظيم أهم يقسمون رحمة ربك نحن قسمنا بينهم معيشتهم في الحياة الدنيا ورفعنا بعضهم فوق بعض درجات ليتخذ بعضهم بعضا سخريا ورحمة ربك خير مما يجمعون وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم يا أيها الناس توبوا قبل أن تموتوا وبادروا بالأعمال الصالحة وصلوا الذي بينكم وبين ربكم بكثرة ذكركم له وكثرة الصدقة بالسر والعلانية توجروا وتحمدوا وترزقوا أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Honorable scholars, respected brothers, elders, mothers and sisters, as humans, as mortals, it is part of our instinct, it is part of our temperament that we are prone to err. Whether it is the decisions we make or the choices we exercise, fallibility is part of our nature. Sometimes we regret a simple sale or a basic transaction or the house we bought or the car we sold, and many, without generalizing, have second thoughts on the partners they wed also. But like they say, the problem with children is, and I guess the same applies to partners, they're not returnable. The problem with children is, and the problem with partners is, they're not returnable. On the other hand, everything of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is perfect, is flawless, is blemishless, is infallible, is impeccable. When Allah chose Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam as the paragon of his creation, by Allah, there could be no second opinion to this. The malaika were in harmony, the animal kingdom saluted him, leave mankind revering him, even his enemies conceded he is the greatest human. We differ with him because of race, we differ with him because of jealousy, we differ with him because of rigid practices of our ancestors. But if you ask us, and ask Abu Jahl and ask Abu Lahab, they also confessed, as the Arabic poet said, شهد الأنام بفضله حتى العدا والفضل ما شهدت به الأعداء. The virtue of an individual is that to which his foe can concede. Some denied his truth because of jealousy. The Quran very emphatically said, حَسَدًا مِّنْ عِنْدِ أَنفُسِهِمْ مِّنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الْحَقِّ. After the truth had become apparent to them, but because of jealousy. And let me seize the opportunity to tell you how evil jealousy is. The giant Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan radiyallahu anhuma said, كُلُّ عَدَاوَةٍ تُرْجَى إِزَالَتُهَا إِلَّا عَدَاوَةُ مَنْ عَدَاكَ مِنْ حَسَدِي. There is a formula to convert every enmity into friendship, but the enmity that stems from jealousy. So many hated him as much as they agreed he was the best. Under this ayah, الَّذِينَ آتَيْنَاهُمُ الْكِتَابَ يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبَنَاءَهُمْ. In the seventh juz in Surah An'am, in the footnotes of Jalalain, there is mentioned here with reference to Sawi, that one day Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu spoke to Abdullah ibn Salam, who was the Jewish rabbi and reverted to Islam. He said, tell me, Abdullah, the Quran says you people, the people of the book, you recognize Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam like how you recognize your own sons. Unpack that for me, elucidate, elaborate. He said, by Allah, we recognized him more than our own sons. Umar radiallahu anhu said, but how can you know someone with a greater level of conviction than your own son? He said, when we read his description in the divine scriptures, there wasn't an iota of doubt that this was the man in Sayyid. But regarding my son, I don't have that absolute conviction that my wife has been faithful to me. These are the words. وَإِنِّي لَأَشَدُّ مَعْرِفَةً. I have a greater level of conviction that he is the Nabi of Allah. وَمَا أَدْرِي مَا تَصْنَعُ النِّسَاءُ. وَمَا أَدْرِي مَا تَصْنَعُ النِّسَاءُ. And I cannot say with absolute certainty, you know, what is the reality if my wife has been faithful or my wife has not been faithful. On the other hand, some denied it because of the following of the rigid practices of their forefathers. وَكَذَلِكَ مَا أَرْسَلْنَا فِي قَرْيَةٍ مِّن نَبِيٍّ. Whenever a Nabi was sent to them, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, what did they say? إِنَّا وَجَدَنَا آبَاءَنَا عَلَىٰ أُمَّةٍ وَإِنَّا عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمْ مُقْتَدُونَ. We found our forefathers doing a particular thing, and we will rigidly hold on to their practices regardless of the profile of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Reflect for a moment, the topic is of the Prophets, the discussion is of the Prophets, the chapter is on Anbiya, and Allah is giving coverage to every Nabi. It's the 17 Juz, it's the opening chapter, and Allah has labeled it Surah Anbiya, and Allah goes in detail with Ibrahim alayhi salam. وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا إِبْرَاهِيمَ رُشْدَهُ مِنْ قَبْلُ وَكُنَّا بِهِ عَالِمِينَ. We favored Ibrahim with understanding, with maturity, and he's known as Abul Anbiya. 1.5 pages Allah dedicates. Allah then goes into the discussion of Lut alayhi salatu wasalam, of Ishaq, of Yaqub, Dawood, Sulaiman, wa Ismail wa Idris wa Dhul Kifl kullum min as-sabirin. Mention of Ismail, Idris, and Dhul Kifl. Just one thing so that I can elucidate and elaborate on the point that I'm trying to drive here. Ismail alayhi salam, we all know he's a prophet. Idris alayhi salam, we all know he's a prophet. Dhul Kifl, there is difference of opinion if he was a prophet or not. And let's not mince our words, we talk of two different personalities. There is Kifl and Dhul Kifl. These are two separate personalities. Those who are familiar with Islamic history will know. Ibn Kathir Rahmatullah Ali's pattern of thought is really amazing in this regard. He says, my opinion is that Dhul Kifl was a prophet simply because Allah mentioned him in the chapter of prophets. So the tone and the context in which he has been discussed suggests by implication and insinuation that he was from amongst the prophets. One would have assumed that the topic is prophets, the discussion is prophets, so the Prophet ﷺ will be introduced in the greatest detail. Allah brings his mention in the tail end of the chapter, prior to the culmination of Surah Anbiya, just when the chapter is about to be concluded, and Allah is about to wrap up the chapter on prophets. Allah said, I want to introduce my Nabi as well, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Brief, concise, but voluminous indeed. In my humble translation, if I may make of this ayah, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sufficient to say in your profile that your existence is a source of benefit, is a source of mercy for every human, for every creature, for every atom, for every iota on every planet. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. تَذْكِرَ خَاتَمُ الْأَنْبِيَا on page 94. تَذْكِرَ خَاتَمُ الْأَنْبِيَا on page 94. The following tale is written there. Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, in his entire period of nabuwat, which extended beyond 1,000 years, his period amongst his people was 950. Allah gave him nabuwat at the age of 40. Then he preached to his people for 950, that's 990. Thereafter Allah gave him a lifespan of 60 years. So he lived for 1,050 years. This was the life of Nuh alayhi salam. He received revelation from Allah in this 1,000 years 50 times. Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam received revelation from Allah 48 times. Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wasalam in his entire nabuwat received revelation from Allah 10 times. Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam received revelation from Allah in his entire nabuwat 10 times. And Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam received revelation from Allah in 23 years, 24,000 times. At times, I gave you the reference, Tadhkira Khatamul Anbiya on page 94. At times on one day, Allah sent wahi on him 10 times, which was the collective revelation on Adam and Isa in the entire period of nabuwat. غَيْرُ أُولِي الضَّرَرِ was the shortest independent revelation with which Allah sent Jibreel. Surah An'am was sent with 70,000 malaika. إِلَّا مَنِ ارْتَضَى مِنْ رَسُولٍ فَإِنَّهُ يَسْلُكُ مِنْ بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِ رَصَدًا. Escorted by this heavy contingent of malaika. In Qurtubi, the sequence is mentioned in the following way. There's difference of opinion pertaining to the last verse. But look at the multiple communication and closeness and proximity the Prophet ﷺ enjoyed, and right till his last moment. The last chapter to be revealed was Surah An-Nasr, and this consensus, and hence it's also referred to as Surah At-Tawdi', as is mentioned in Qurtubi. Thereafter, 80 days before his blessed demise, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the verse, Al-Yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-Islam deena. The faith has been completed, culminated, perfected. 80 days before his demise. Thereafter, the verse pertaining to Kalala, which is related to inheritance, this was revealed 50 days before his demise. Then the verse, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ, 35 days before the demise of the Prophet ﷺ, and 21 days before his demise, and according to the narration of Muqatil, 7 days. وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ, fear that day to which your return is to Allah. In essence, this was the closeness and the proximity the Prophet ﷺ enjoyed with revelation. Generally, when a person has a relation and a bond with someone, but sometimes it doesn't go down well with your peers or your friends or your relatives or your colleagues, or many a times a father with his son or a mother with her son, and it doesn't go down well with the siblings, so you minimize the relation and you cut it short so that it's not offensive to your other children. So a mother tells her son, or a father tells his son, listen, my son, I'm very impressed with you, but every time I'm praising you, I'm paying tribute to you, your siblings are getting offended. So in their presence, I won't formally acknowledge you, but behind the scenes, I promise you, you have secured my happiness. The relation of Allah with his Nabi was one of a different nature. Allah was bold, Allah was loud, Allah was clear, Allah was emphatic. Allah said, I love my Nabi, وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ لِيَغِيضَ بِهِمُ الْكُفَّارِ. Even if it enrages you to see how his faith prosper, I will make it prosper even more if you hate it or the entire world hates it. If it causes you pain, tough luck. Listen to this verse. مَنْ كَانَ يَظُنُّ أَنْ لَنْ يَنْصُرَهُ اللَّهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ فَلْيَمْدُدْ بِسَبَبٍ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ ثُمَّ لْيَقْطَعْ فَلْيَنْظُرْ هَلْ يُذْهِبَنَّ كَيْدُهُ مَا يَغِيظُ. This ayah spells out loud and clear, open and transparent, the relation Allah had with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He who is offended or irritated or insulted, man kana yadhunnu, he who perceives and assumes, أَلَّنْ يَنْصُرَهُ اللَّهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ, that Allah will forsake the aid of his Nabi, and Allah will not bless and inspire his Nabi. He's got one of two options. The first commentary, Durr Manthur, فَلْيَمْدُدْ بِسَبَبٍ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ, tell him to stretch a rope to the heavens. ثُمَّ لْيَقْطَعْ, and then tell him to terminate revelation. Tell him to go there and terminate revelation. ثُمَّ لْيَقْطَعْ فَلْيَنْظُرْ. Obviously, he can't terminate revelation. فَلْيَنْظُرْ. I wish you could comprehend it in the verses of the Quran. فَلْيَنْظُرْ هَلْ يُذْهِبَنَّ كَيْدُهُ مَا يَغِيظُ. Ask him, he cannot stop revelation, but does it appease his pain? Does it satisfy his anxiety? So go up to the heavens, which you know it's impossible. Terminate revelation, which you can never do. In other words, forget about desiring that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam will not be aided. The second opinion in Tafsir al-Madhari, فَلْيَنْظُرْ بِسَبَبٍ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ, tell him to stretch a rope, إِلَى السَّمَاءِ, meaning to the roof of his house. ثُمَّ لْيَقْطَعْ, then tell him to cut a line and claim his life and put an end to his life, but Allah will never ever forsake his Nabi. What did the Quran say? فَإِنَّكَ بِأَعْيُنِنَا. Oh Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are constantly before my eyes. You are constantly before my eyes. The ayat al-kareema that I recited is a verse of the 25th juz. وَقَالُوا لَوْلَا نُزِّلَ هَذَا الْقُرْآنُ عَلَى رَجُلٍ مِّنَ الْقَرْيَتَيْنِ عَظِيمٍ. Amongst the baseless allegations that the infidels leveled against the Quran, one is that they said the Quran is amazing, it's superb, it's really great. But the person who received the Quran is not the best candidate for this. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. So the Quran, we don't have an issue with it, but if the Quran was revealed on a greater person, a more noble personality, وقالوا, and they said, لولا نزل هذا القرآن. Why was the Quran not revealed? على رجل من القريتين عظيم, أي على رجل عظيم من القريتين. On a more noble, on a more profound person. And قريتين here refers to مكة and طائف. And what did they mean by profound? وأرادوا بالعظيم ذا مال وجاه. A more suitable candidate, we're looking for a man with money and we're looking for a man with fame. And to be explicit on who their references were, in Mecca they were referring to a man called Walid ibn Mughira. Briefly, he had the economic muscle, he had the financial muscle, he had the following of the kuffar. He was known as the Rayhanatu Quraysh, the fragrance of the Quraysh. He used to call himself Wahid ibn al-Wahid. I am amazing, my father is unique. He had 10 sons, 3 of whom embraced the faith. Aslama, Hishamun, Khalidun, and Amara. 3 of them accepted Islam. The Quran testifies, وَمَهَّدْتُ لَهُ تَمْهِيدًا. Allah says, we laid it out for him. وَبَنِينَ شُهُودًا. His sons were around him. But listen to this here. One day he accused the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He accused the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of being mentally impaired. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. لما عاب الوليد النبي باسم واحد وهو المجنون كاذبا سماه الله بعشرة أسماء صادقا. علامة النسفي رحمة الله عليه makes mention in his tafsir, when Walid intended blemishing the impeccable character of Nabi عليه السلام, and he made the derogatory reference that Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم is mentally impaired, Allah came across on him so harsh that Allah exposed 10 of his evils in the Quran. Allama Nasafi says, praise Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam once and Allah give you 10 blessings. And try and accuse him once and Allah exposes you 10 times. And then how Allah said it? سَنَسِمُهُ عَلَى الْخُرْطُومِ. We will brand his nose. مَهَانَةً لَهُ. Study Arabic. The word khurtum in Arabic either refers to the trunk of an elephant or the snout of a pig. Allah made derogatory reference of his nose in the Quran by saying, Walid doesn't have a nose. The Quran says he has a trunk or a snout. And then Allah went on to say, أَهُمْ يَقْسِمُونَ رَحْمَةَ رَبِّكَ. So they came into the picture to decide who deserves nabuwat. Look at the amazing eloquence and the profound answer of the Quran. نحن قسمنا بينهم معيشتهم في الحياة الدنيا ورفعنا بعضهم فوق بعض. Allah said, I haven't allowed any human to decide his own sustenance. Where will I allow them to decide prophethood? Oh, what an answer, my Allah! أهم يقسمون رحمة ربك. Have they come on board to give their pittance and give their advice? I haven't allowed you to decide your own sustenance. What did the Arabic poet say? لو كان باللب يزداد اللبيب غنا لو كان باللب يزداد اللبيب غنا لكان كل لبيب مثل قاروني فلو أن المال. If it was sheer intellect that secured your wealth, then every intelligent man would have had an empire like Qarun. But that is not the case. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's unwavering love for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The occasion is Hudaybiyah, and I don't want to go into it. I have previously spoken about it. Today I have a different message, and I try in my humble way in every seerah talk to dedicate a different dimension from the noble and the blessed and the impeccable and the flawless life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But it's the occasion of Hudaybiyah. It's a bitter pill for Sahaba to swallow, and they are returning back. We know at the occasion of Hudaybiyah, when the peace treaty was signed and the Prophet said, right, this is an agreement between Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the kuffar of Makkah. And they said, but this is the very contentious issue. If we were in harmony that you are a prophet, مَا صَدَدْنَاكَ عَنِ الْبَيْتِ, we would have opened the doors and paved the way and say, make Umrah. The issue why we've resisted your entrance is we don't accept you as a prophet. Nabi alayhi salam told the Sahaba that erase it. Sahaba said, oh Nabi of Allah, no, this is now really pushing the boundaries too far. This is really pushing the boundaries too far. How much do we succumb and surrender? Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said the conditions of Hudaybiyah were so stringent that if it was anyone besides Allah's Nabi, I would have interrogated that man. If it was anyone besides Allah's Nabi, but I knew he was under divine command. Anyway, Nabi alayhi salam said, erase it. and write Muhammad the son of Abdullah. And then the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, I am a prophet, even if you choose to deny to have it recorded on your peace treaty. They refuse to record it on one document. Allah reveals Surah Fatah as they come in back from Hudaybiyah. And in that Allah reveals, scholars have two opinions if the entire surah was revealed or a portion was revealed thereafter. When Allah reveals Surah Fatah, Allah said, Muhammadur Rasulullah walladhina ma'ahu ashidda'u 'alal kuffar. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the prophet of Allah. Ya Allah made reference to Nabi alayhi salam in a very detailed way. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the prophet of Allah. In Bayanul Quran, Jazahullahu Anna Khairal Jaza, the Mufassir writes, what is the correlation, what is the tie of this verse in context to the event that prompted its revelation? He said, the message is loud, the message is clear. Allah is saying to the world, you didn't want to record it on your peace treaty. Neither you remain nor your peace treaty remain. Immediately I send Jibreel with the full name in Quran. Muhammadur Rasulullah. Inna kafaynaka al-mustahzi'een. If you read in Tafsir al-Samarqandi and Madarik al-Tanzil, under this ayah, al-jumhur ala annaha nazalat fi khamsati nafar. The Mufassirin are unanimous, it was revealed regarding five kuffar. Walid ibn Mughira, As ibn Wa'il, Aswad ibn Abd al-Yaghuth, Aswad ibn Abd al-Muttalib, and Harith ibn Qais. Harith ibn Qais, there's two narrations. Harith ibn Handala, Harith ibn Qais. But most of the narrations suggest Harith ibn Qais. These were five people. Alladhina yubalighuna fi idha'i Rasulillah. Who went over the limit in causing pain to Nabi alayhi salam. Miraculously, mysteriously, Allah claimed their life. Like we would say medically, there's no medical explanation. One was walking, he fell, suddenly he died. Another one got up in the morning, next minute he lost his vision. The third one vomited something and that claimed his life. The fourth one bumped his head and his life went. Inna kafaynaka al-mustahzi'een. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we will suffice on your behalf. What did the giant Abu Hanifa say? Wa Muhammadun basharun laysa kal-bashari, al-yaqutu hajarun laysa kal-hajari. Wa Muhammadun sallallahu alayhi wasallam basharun laysa kal-bashari. الياقوت حجر ليس كالحجر. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was a human. He was not the average human. He was not the common human. After all, an emerald and a ruby is also a stone. It's not the common stone. You may say it's a stone, but it's not the common stone. It's not the average stone. In Surah Shura, the 25th juz, the 42nd chapter of the Quran, under this ayah, جَعَلَ لَكُم مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا وَمِنَ الْأَنْعَامِ أَزْوَاجًا جَعَلَ لَكُم مِّنَ الْأَنْعَامِ أَزْوَاجًا وَمِنَ الْأَنْعَامِ أَزْوَاجًا يَذْرَأُكُمْ فِيهِ لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. Allah said, جَعَلَ لَكُم مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا. Allah created for you from yourselves partners. وَمِنَ الْأَنْعَامِ أَزْوَاجًا. And Allah created pairs from the animal kingdom. Appreciate the grandeur and the magnanimity of Allah. Last week we were in PE for a program and then we went to one brother's farm who, mashallah, has got beautiful Arab horses, you know, and those that are into horses, the Arab breed and the tail and the walk and the pride and its lineage, it's amazing. And then he was showing me, he said, this mare has just given birth to a filly and this mare is in foal. And as we walk in and the animal, the mare is walking, and then we get close to a stallion. Now till today I know that a donkey brays and a horse neighs and a lion roars, but that was the one time I heard a horse roar. Subhanallah, I said, did he smell the high heels or what has he got here? What has the stallion picked up? Amazing. What did the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? Al-khaylu ma'qudun binawasiha al-khayr. Allah has attached goodness to the forelock of a horse. After all, my Allah has sworn repeated oath on this horse. وَالْعَادِيَاتِ ضَبْحًا. So Allah says He has created partners for you. And He has created pairs for the animal kingdom. Under the commentary of this ayah, in the footnotes of Jalalain, the Hasha number 2 with reference to Tafsir al-Jamal, it is mentioned there, on the strength of Ja'far Sadiq rahmatullah alayh, that the first person who prostrated to Adam was Jibreel. أول من سجد لآدم جبريل ثم ميكائيل then ميكائيل ثم إسرافيل ثم إسرائيل ثم الملائكة المقربون and then the angels in succession. Ibn Abbas رضي الله عنهما's narration كان السجود يوم الجمعة من الزوال إلى العصر. The prostration took place on Friday from Zawal, just after the sun, you know, at decline from the zenith, till Asr. ثم خلق الله له حواء. Then Allah created for Adam عليه الصلاة والسلام حواء while he was resting. And that was from his left rib, ضلع من أضلاعه اليسرى. وسميت حواء لأنها خلقت من حي. And she was known, and this is again the beauty of the Arabic language. The beauty of the Arabic language is, if you study the etymology, the origin of every word, amazing. For example, whatever Adam alayhi salatu wasalam did is the instinct of man. So when Adam and our mother Hawa ate from the forbidden tree, then immediately their sitter got exposed. The Quran said, وَطَفِقَا يَخْصِفَانِ عَلَيْهِمَا مِنْ وَرَقِ الْجَنَّةِ وَأَخَذَا يَلْزِقَانِ. They started covering themselves. And the Quran refers to their private organs as سوآت. وَطَفِقَا فَبَدَتْ لَهُمَا سَوْآتُهُمَا. Now if you study the etymology and the history of this word, it boils down to the word سَاءَ. وَسُمِّيَ عَوْرَ لِأَنَّ إِنْكِشَافَهُ يَسُوءُ صَاحِبُهُ. And why is the private organ referred to in the Arabic language as unpleasant or evil? Because any person who is سَلِيمُ التَّبَعُ, who has a preserved nature, he will abhor and dislike to see that his sitr gets exposed in any way. Be it as it may, Hawa is referred to as Hawa because she was created from the living. فَلَمَّا رَآهَا سَكَن. This is important. Again, the instinct of man. When Adam looked at Hawa, immediately calmness came into him. Now we have to ask ourselves, in the institution of marriage, how long have we progressed or to what extent have we secured this? So the husband came home early from work. The wife is like, you came home very early today, my beloved. Said the boss was angry with all of us. And he told us, the whole lot of you get out, go to hell. So I came home. It might be laughable, my brother, but by Allah, for many people, home has become hell. In English, they say a happy home is early heaven. A happy home is early heaven. Fortunate is that man whose children run into his arms even when his hands are empty. Fortunate is that man whose children run into his arms even when his hands are empty. Someone said, stop perfecting your child. It's time you perfect the relation with your child. Build a bridge. And I don't have it myself. In the week, on a lighter side, my two sons, Hamza and Talha, the younger two, they were having a chat, and I came in there, and they laughing, and they grinning. So I came in, I said, Hamza, what's happening? No, nothing, Abu. I said, Talha, what happened? Abu, this is small people's talk. Big people must stay out of it. This is small people's talk. Big people must stay out of it. Like big people's talk, small people must stay out. A happy home is early heaven. فَلَمَّا رَآهَا سَكَن. When Adam looked at her, calmness came in him. What is the object of your house? جَعَلَ لَكُم مِّن بُيُوتِكُمْ سَكَنًا. جَعَلَ لَكُم مِّن بُيُوتِكُمْ سَكَنًا. Allah said, He has created from your dwellings that sukoon, the fundamental object. What is a house? كُلُّ مَا عَلَاكَ فَأَضَلَّكَ فَهُوَ سَقْفٌ. وَكُلُّ مَا أَقَلَّكَ فَهُوَ أَرْضٌ وَكُلُّ مَا سَتَرَكَ مِنْ جِهَاتِكَ الْأَرْبَعُ فَهُوَ جِدَارٌ فَإِذَا اتَّصَلَتْ وَانْتَظَمَتْ فَهُوَ بَيْتٌ. Bait doesn't have to be a palatial palace. If it covers you from the top, if it bears you from the bottom, it conceals you from four angles, that is a house. What's the object? It must give you a sakan. So when Adam looked at our mother Hawa, there was sakan. مَدَّ يَدَهُ إِلَيْهَا. He stretched his hand towards her. So the malaika said, مَهْيَا Adam, wait, Adam, wait. Why? حَتَّى تُؤَدِّي مَهْرَكْ. Discharge your dowry. So Adam alayhi salam is like my honorable father always says, reflect for a moment. Allah, Adam was in paradise, the pinnacle of happiness and joy. Allah didn't give him parents to add to his joy. Allah gave him a partner. Allah didn't give him children. Allah didn't give him parents. Allah gave him a partner. That paradise cannot be fully appreciated without a partner. How can a man live in this world without a partner? This is the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this has to continue. What is your dowry? Your dowry is that you discharge. You send salutations on Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam 3 times. Allahumma fa salli wa sallim wa barik wa zid ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa atba'ihi wa dhurriyatihi ila yawmiddin. Anybody who will associate himself to the life of Nabi alayhi salam in any way, there is no doubt it will elevate his profile. And proportionate to how much you will incline, accordingly Allah will elevate you. This is the declaration of the Quran. And the most telling tale in this regard is of Abu Lahab, who initially rejoiced and subsequently vehemently opposed the cause. If you want to look at an extremes in a person, then Abu Lahab epitomizes it. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was born, and Thuwaiba, the slave girl, brought the glad tidings to Abu Lahab to say, a son has been born in the house of your late brother Abdullah. That was the father of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And in a fit of joy and in a moment of excitement, he said, I liberate you. And this is again the teachings of Islam, that you pay tribute and you acknowledge a person who conveys glad tidings to you. You acknowledge him and you thank him that, you know what, you've conveyed some glad tidings to me, may Allah reward you. So, anyway, Thuwaiba was liberated because she conveyed the news of the birth of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Subsequently, when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam grew up and Allah gave him nabuwat, Abu Lahab opposed his mission and opposed the cause of Islam. He became hostile towards Islam. But this is the beauty of Islam. Allah will reward you for your good and punish you for your wrong. Notwithstanding his hostility, it appears in the narrations, given the fact that he rejoiced on the birth of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which happened on a Monday, up to this day, every Monday, the torment is somehow reduced on Abu Lahab in his grave as an acknowledgement to the fact that he shared joy on the birth and the arrival of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Allama Shamsuddin rahimahullah has encapsulated in his famous couplets very beautifully, إِذَا كَانَ هَذَا كَافِرٌ جَاءَ ذَمُّهُ إِذَا كَانَ هَذَا كَافِرٌ جَاءَ ذَمُّهُ تَبَّتْ يَدَاهُ فِي الْجَحِيمِ مُخَلَّدًا أَتَى أَنَّهُ فِي الْيَوْمِ اثْنَيْنِ دَائِمًا يُخَفَّفُ عَنْهُ لِلسُّرُورِ بِأَحْمَدَ فَمَا الظَّنُّ بِالْعَبْدِ الَّذِي كَانَ عُمْرُهُ بِأَحْمَدَ مَسْرُورًا وَمَاتَ مُوَحِّدًا. He says, إِذَا كَانَ هَذَا كَافِرٌ, this is an infidel, this is a disbeliever, جَاءَ ذَمُّهُ, who has been condemned in the Quran, تَبَّتْ يَدَاهُ, may his hands be perished, فِي الْجَحِيمِ مُخَلَّدًا, dwells in hell eternally, أَتَى أَنَّهُ, it appears in the narrations, فِي الْيَوْمِ اثْنَيْنِ دَائِمًا, every Monday, يُخَفَّفُ عَنْهُ لِلسُّرُورِ بِأَحْمَدًا, his torment is marginally reduced, because he expressed joy on the birth of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَمَا الظَّنُّ بِالْعَبْدِ الَّذِي كان عمره بأحمد مسرورا ومات موحدا. The poet says, I open the floor and I throw the question to the audience. You make the call and tell me. Here stands a kafir, hostile, anti-Islam, opposing the cause of Islam. Yet this one action of him brought him the benefit of Monday. Every Monday his torment is reduced. Make the call, the one who devotes his whole life, not Rabiul Awwal, but his entire life, to the cause of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and dies with the faith of Islam, what won't Allah give him on the day of Qiyamah? But I want to speak on something, and like I said, I like to drive a particular message and just reflect over my pattern of thoughts, the humble thoughts that Allah has put. When the verses of the Quran were revealed in the initial stages and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam started performing lengthy salah, إن ربك يعلم أنك تقوم أدنى من ثلثي الليل ونصف. What was the cornerstone of his mission? What was the essence of his mission? What was the key message? We can speak on his miracles and we can go on for hours and hours. The miracles of a Nabi was never the object of prophethood. It was the proof of prophethood. When he went to people and he said, I'm a prophet, people said, supported. But he didn't come to display miracles. Let's not lose the focus. As much as we marvel at the multiple miracles of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, let's keep focus that wasn't the object of prophethood. So in the initial stages, when the verses were revealed, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam then performed lengthy salah. So the kuffar said, it looks like this Quran has burdened him. So Allah rescued him and Allah said, مَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْقُرْآنَ لِتَشْقَى مَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْقُرْآنَ لِتَشْقَى O my Nabi, don't exert yourself. O my Nabi, don't over-assert yourself. The object is not to cause you any pain. Immediately Quran came down, rescued him, told him, don't go too far, don't inconvenience yourself. Then came the aspect of generosity. So one woman sends her son to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, arsalat imra'atun ila an-nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she said that uksuni qamisak, O Nabi of Allah, give me your upper garment. So Nabi alayhi salam said, at the moment I only have this, but when I have more I will give you. He came back and he said, my mom insists that you should kindly give us the very upper garment that you have. Nabi alayhi salam took it out and he gave it, and the incident is very famous. And then it was the time of salah and he was unable to come for salah, and Allah revealed the verse, وَلَا تَجْعَلْ يَدَكَ مَغْلُولَةً إِلَىٰ عُنُقِكَ وَلَا تَبَسُطْهَا كُلَّ الْبَسْطِ فَتَقْعُدَ مَلُومًا مَحْسُورًا O Nabi of Allah, don't tie your hands to your neck, an indication of mizen to the limit. I was reading one amazing kitab for scholars. It's a must read. Al-Farq Bain Al-Mutaradifat. And that's the fine line, the difference between synonyms. So those that are familiar with Arabic, just to touch, I don't go, it's very philosophical and it's very scholastic. What's the difference between shak and raib? What is the difference between walid and ab? In which context could you use walid? When would you use ab? Anyone who knows Arabic would appreciate what I'm talking about. What's the difference between haddathana, amba'ana, akhbarana, and it goes on. And I was reading the word, the difference between shuh and bukhl. Shuh and bukhl. If you didn't understand it, don't worry. Don't worry. It happens. I mean, sometimes we hear the medical people talking and all that. But okay, tell me in simple language. I had a little cold in my back. So I went to the doctor. He says, Molna, you got fibromyalgia. I said, all right, I know, but like, I had a little germ here, what they say. He said, no, you've got Helicobacter pylori. I said, okay, right, now simplify that for me. Those are terms just because it was related to me. So, you know, I had a bit of a thrush in the throat. You have a candidiasis. I'm like, brother, please, man, talk my language. Anyway, Al-Farq Bain Al-Mutaradifat. So they, under this kitab, under the word bukhl, oh, it hit me, man. Bukhl. The ulama say bukhl, the Ahlul Lugha. Bukhl has three words. Ba, Kha, Lam. A bakhil, there will be constant bala in his life. A bakhil, there will be constant divine tragedies in the life of a miser. Kha, Kharban. Nothing of his will work out. His cars won't work, his homes won't prosper, his factory won't take off. Kharban. Lam la'nat. He will be the victim of curse of people all the time. The Ahlul Lugha have written this here. Be it as it may, Allah told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, وَلَا تَجْعَلْ يَدَكَ مَغْلُولَ إِلَىٰ عُنُقِكَ وَلَا تَبَسُطْهَا كُلَّ الْبَسْطِ And don't spread it too much, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. فَتَقْعُدَ مَلُومًا مَحْصُورًا Then it mustn't cause you any pain and difficulty. Again, Allah rescued Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and said, with moderation, be generous. With moderation, be generous. Then came the passion, the overwhelming passion for the guidance of every person. Again, the Quran came, يَقُولُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى مُسَلِّيًا لِرَسُولِهِ فَلَا تَذْهَبْ نَفْسُكَ عَلَيْهِمْ حَسَرَاتٍ وَمَا أَنْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ بِجَبَّارٍ O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, do not exert yourself. Do not tire yourself. Do not kill yourself in their guidance. I shared with you three verses. When the Master sallallahu alayhi wasallam exerted himself, Allah rescued him and Allah said, with moderation perform these duties. But when he sallallahu alayhi wasallam displayed his amazing character, Allah ta'ala did not stop him and tell him moderation. Allah said, congratulations, keep the character alive. Wa innaka la'ala khuluqin azim. Wa innaka la'ala khuluqin azim. When he displayed this amazing character, Allah said, I now confer an accolade upon you. We have, you know what, we now call upon the most well-behaved child. And we call upon, you know, in many an institutions, the well-behaved child, when I have to address that audience, I acknowledge him first before I pay tribute to the one who has excelled and taken a first position. Remember, and I've seen it recently when this whole cheer and excitement and jubilation had gripped our country, because many of our Muslim schools were in the leading in terms of, you know what, scoring points, and many of our learners had excelled. Brilliant, amazing, meritorious. But Khalid Baig has written very beautifully. He said, remember, if you've taken an A, it's only an indicator that you have committed to memory the information that has been conveyed to you. Nothing more. It only says that he's got a good memory. He's memorized what you've taught him. If he is an A student, we'll have to dissect that information. We'll have to unpack what has been passed to the generation. Is it good information? Because he could possibly been taught atheism. He could be taught something else. And he excels on the facts on atheism. And then are you still going to conclude he's an A person? So we need to understand. We need to understand la munaqashata fil istilah. Our definition of first is far different to that of the world. How we decide a first student is very different. In terms of him excelling, that's a reflection that is committed to memory. What was the level of respect Sahaba had? What was the level of respect? The hadith is in Bukhari. Sahaba were practicing archery. The Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam came out. Salma ibn Aqwa radiallahu anhu narrates it. Nabi alayhi salam came out. Now look at Nabi alayhi salam time with the children. Look at how he spent time. I had a beautiful coat. A girl said, I've never been a material girl. My father always taught me, oh my daughter, don't ever love anything that cannot love you back. My father always taught me, don't ever love or attach. You love in your car, my sister, you love in your kitchen, it cannot reciprocate love. وَمِنَ الشَّقَاوَةِ أَن تُحِبَّ وَمِنَ الشَّقَاوَةِ أَن تُحِبَّ وَمَنْ تُحِبُّ يُحِبُّ غَيْرَكَ أَوْ تُرِيدُ خَيْرًا لِلْإِنسَانِ وَهُوَ يُرِيدُ ضَيْرَكَ. The giant al-Shafi'i said, وَمِنَ الشَّقَاوَةِ. There cannot be a more wretched person أَن تُحِبَّ, that you pour your love to something or someone and that very person or something hates you equal to how much you love him. أَوْ تُرِيدُ خَيْرًا لِلْإِنسَانِ وَهُوَ يُرِيدُ ضَيْرَكَ. Or you wish the guidance of someone and that person wishes your destruction. So the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes out and the Sahaba practicing archery. He said, إِرْمُوا بَنِي إِسْمَعِيلْ فَإِنَّ أَبَاكُمْ كَانَ رَامِيَا. That's amazing. That's great. That's skill. That's talent. Go for it, boys. Go for it. Play. After all, your father was a great archer. Your ancestor Ismail was a great archer. وَأَنَا مَعَ بَنِي فُلَانِ وَأَنَا مَعَ بَنِي فُلَانِ. And between the two groups, I am with this group. So you people are challenging them, we're standing on this side. Now when you talk of the fabric of a society, when you talk of the fiber of a community, this was not a structured environment. This was not a disciplined environment. This was not a regulated atmosphere. These were children playing on the outside. When the Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, right, okay, I'm on this side against you. Come boys, let's play. They all dropped their bows and their arrows. The hadith of Bukhari. مَا لَكُمْ لَا تَرْمُونَ. But I said, come, let's play. O Nabi of Allah, how dare we challenge them when you on that side? O Nabi of Allah, how dare we challenge? How can we be on the opposite? By Allah. I was in the UK and I mentioned this now. They were telling me that the biggest problem that has plagued Birmingham, the brother who hosted me said, Sheikh, it's drugs. I said, that which formed the outside environment of Medina Munawwara, if it only becomes the classroom environment of ours, consider our efforts well achieved. This is children playing outside, so cognizant. وَأَنَا مَعَ بَنِي فُلَانِ. So when it came to the aspect of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, what did I say? Allah said, I confer an accolade upon you. وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. O Nabi of Allah, great is your character. Sublime is your character. Noble is your deeds. Keep it going, keep it going. There is no limit to it. There is no limit to it. Now I want to share with you certain extracts from the life of the Master sallallahu alayhi wasallam, how we could relate and identify. How he sallallahu alayhi wasallam conducted himself with his seniors. How he sallallahu alayhi wasallam conducted himself with his juniors. How he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam conducted himself with his spouses and his partners, And then obviously, like I always say, we've got to draw lessons and internalize it. So we stand up from here energized, motivated, exhibiting the character of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's sitting with his sahaba, and there walks in an elderly woman. He says, marhaban bi ummi, marhaban bi ummi. Allah has taken him to a point that no Nabi would ever go. Allah has taken him to a level no human would ever go. He's sitting, he's in his prime, Allah has given him everything. He stands up in the awe of this woman. This is my mother. Can the brothers just move? Basata laha rida'ahu. He spreads his blessed shawl. He sits her down. He respects her, entertains her. Why? She was Halima Sa'diyah radiyallahu anha. She had nursed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He never became oblivious of the favor of any person till the day he passed away. The Master sallallahu alayhi wasallam never ever forgot the favor. And I don't want to go into the details. Read the history. He even paid the favors of disbelievers. When a disbeliever showed him kindness, he reciprocated that kindness. He acknowledged it in cash to kind, in tribute or verbal acknowledgement, but he never ever forgot the kindness of any person. Number one. Another narration, atathu khalatuhu min ar-rada'a. Halima Sa'diyah radiyallahu anha's sister comes. Nabi alayhi salam's aunt, foster aunt. At that time, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not have any shawl. Naza'a rida'ahu an dhahrihi. He took out, this is not his biological mother. He took out his shawl from his blessed Mubarak back, and he put that blessed shawl on the ground, and he said, this woman is no less a mother to me. This woman is no less a mother to me. Ummi, this is also a mother to me. You might agree with me, after all, Halima suckled him and nursed him. There is a degree of obligation. But now here comes the challenge, and here comes the amazing challenge. The narration of Zadul Ma'ad. Barkat bint Thaqlaba. Barkat bint Thaqlaba, who was the slave girl of Nabi alayhi salam's father. Then after he passed away, she became the slave girl of Nabi sallallahu alayhi salam's mother. And Nabi alayhi salam's mother, Amina radiyallahu anha, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Barkat. Three go to Medina Munawwara to pay respect at the grave of Nabi alayhi salam's father, who passed away at the age of 18. They pay their respect. This great amanat is not even 6 years of age. When you look at the life of Nabi alayhi salam and you look at the challenges, I often say we've digressed from the life of Sahaba to such an extent, leave alone internalizing it, we cannot even fathom and comprehend that humans can do this. Leave alone drawing it into our life. Nabi alayhi salam with his honorable, respected, noble mother. Reflect for a moment. They are now returning from Medina. Lam yujawiz min umrihi. His blessed age has not even reached 6. They are at a place, a location called Abwa. Geographically, it is a mountainous terrain. It is a mountainous region. Allah's will, Allah's decision at that location, Allah decides to take out the soul of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's mother, Amina radiyallahu anha. I would have thought in my foolish understanding, you would have said in your naive thoughts, how great it would have been if Allah spared Amina to take this amanat of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam to Makkah, settle him down in his house, familiarize himself in his environments. He hasn't seen his father. Now his mum is passing away, only to be accompanied by a slave girl where there's nothing but mountainous terrain, the scorching heat of Makkah. If Allah had only spared and extended the life of Amina, but the Arabic poet said, وَمَنْ كُتِبَتْ مَنِيَّتُهُ فِي أَرْضٍ فَلَيْسَ يَمُوتُ فِي أَرْضٍ سِوَاهَا وَمَنْ كُتِبَتْ مَنِيَّتُهُ بِأَرْضٍ فَلَيْسَ يَمُوتُ فِي أَرْضٍ سِوَاهَا. When Allah has decreed and ordained the death of any person in a location, he or she will not die elsewhere. The message is very loud. If Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to lose his mother in a place called Abwa and then witness the burial of his mother Amina radiyallahu anha, what must have crossed the heart of Nabi alayhi salam at that time? Hence the Quran said, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wa wajadaka dhallan fahada wa wajadaka 'ailan fa'aghna fa'amma al-yatima fala taqhar ووجدك ضالا, we found you unaware, فهدا, we guided you, عائلا independent, فأغنى, we empowered you, we enriched you. If you see under أغنى, what the Mufassirin have written, it's amazing how they apply the word أغنى stage by stage, phase by phase, who Allah sent to mold and nurture, protect and guide, and keep the wing of care, and the eye of mercy, and the shadow of affection over this great amanat. Nabi alayhi salatu was salam comes back with barakat. She then becomes the slave girl of Nabi alayhi salam. When my Nabi reaches age of understanding, a'taqaha, he liberates this woman. So what is the profile of this woman? She's been the slave girl of my father, she's been the slave girl of my mother, and she is my slave. ثُمَّ تَزَوَّجَهَا عُبَيْدٍ, a person by the name of Ubaid weds her. فَوَلَدَتْ لَهُ أَيْمَنٍ, she bears a child by the name of Ayman, and she's known as Umm Ayman, the pet name Umm Ayman. Thereafter, تَزَوَّجَهَا زَيْدُ بْنُ حَارِثَ, Zayd radiallahu anhu gets married to her. فَوَلَدَتْ لَهُ أُسَامَ, and then she gives birth to Usama radiallahu anhu. What did Nabi alayhi salam say regarding the slave girl? He said, أُمُّ أَيْمَنٍ أُمِّي بَعْدَ أُمِّي, after my mother, if there's any other woman I will privilege and elevate and acknowledge like a mother, it will be the slave girl of my father, mother, and me. She is a mother to me. I am saying, my young brother, if you can only afford your biological mother the privilege that my Nabi gave to his slave girl, then you're sitting in this heat and my talking here is achieved. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, every morning, the giant in hadith, before leaving his house, ata baba ummihi, he would come to his mother's door. Assalamu alayki wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh ya ummata. Oh my mom, may Allah shower his blessings upon you. Jazakillahu khayran kama rabbaytini saghira. Mom, before I start my day, I want to reiterate my sentiments. You've done a sterling job raising me as a little child. Off I'm going to work. Make dua for me, my mom. فَتَرُدُّ عَلَيْهِ مِثْلَ ذَلِكَ. Imagine starting your day with your mom's dua versus chatting unlawfully, illicitly. فَتَرُدُّ عَلَيْهِ مِثْلَ ذَلِكَ. The mother will reply, and what would she say? وَجَزَاكَ اللَّهُ عَنِّي خَيْرًا كَمَا بَرَرْتَنِي كَبِيرًا. And may Allah reward you, my son, when I aged and you matured, you also diligently served me. When I aged and you matured, you diligently served me. I was reading the Al-Kabair of Allama Zahabi Rahmatullah Alayh, and I came across some couplets on page 50. It made me sob, and I share it with you. Briefly, I run you through it. It's on page 50 in Al-Kabair. The Arabic poet says, لِأُمِّكَ حَقٌ لَوْ عَلِمْتَ كَثِيرُ كَثِيرُكَ يَا هَذَا لَدَيْهِ يَسِيرُ فَكَمْ لَيْلَةً بَاتَتْ بِثِقْلِكَ تَشْتَكِي لَهَا مِنْ جَوَاهَا أَنَّةٌ وَزَفِيرُ وَفِي الْوَضْعِ لَوْ تَدْرِي عَلَيْهَا مَشَقَّةٌ فَمِنْ غُصَصٍ مِنْهَا الْفُؤَادُ يَطِيرُ وَكَمْ غَسَلَتْ عَنْكَ الْأَذَى بِيَمِينِهَا وَمَا حِجْرُهَا إِلَّا لَدَيْكَ سَرِيرٌ وَتَفْدِيكَ مِمَّا تَشْتَكِيهِ بِنَفْسِهَا وَمِنْ ثَدْيَيْهَا شُرْبٌ لَدَيْكَ نَمِيرٌ وَكَمْ مَرَّةً جَاعَتْ وَأَعْطَتْكَ قُوتَهَا حَنَانًا وَإِشْفَاقًا وَأَنْتَ صَغِيرٌ فَآهًا لِذِي عَقْلٍ وَيَتَّبِعُ الْهَوَى وَآهًا لِأَعْمَى الْقَلْبِ وَهُوَ بَصِيرٌ فَأَنْتَ لِمَا تَدْعُو إِلَيْهِ فَقِيرٌ. I hope I can translate this. He says, لِأُمِّكَ حَقٌ لَوْ عَلِمْتَ كَثِيرُ. My brother, you owe your mother the world if only you knew. My brother, you owe your mother the world if only you knew. كَثِيرُكَ يَا هَذَا لَدَيْهِ يَسِيرُ. But if you assert and exert yourself, it's not all that difficult. كَمْ لَيْلَةً بَاتَتْ بِثِقْلِكَ تَشْتَكِي لَهَا مِنْ جَوَاهَا أَنَّةٌ وَزَفِيرُ. Reflect over the 9 months that she carried you. Sometimes it was pain in her back, sometimes it was pain in her abdomen. Sometimes she couldn't eat, sometimes she couldn't sleep. وَفِي الْوَضْعِ لَوْ تَدْرِي عَلَيْهَا مَشَقَّةٌ. And he said, forget about everything. If you only reflect over the pain she bore in delivering you, that's it. Forget the period she suckled you. Forget the period she carried you. Forget what she did for you in her life. Only reflect over your birth, what she experienced. My honorable mom always tells us, there are many in this world that don't have children. But whoever is in this world has parents. There are many in this world that don't have children. And Allah give every couple that is desirous, some don't wear, whatever the circumstances are. But everybody, either they live in or they're late, but they have. وَفِي الْوَضْعِ لَوْ تَدْرِي عَلَيْهَا مَشَقَّةً If you only ponder over the pain she experienced in her in your birth, فَمِنْ غُصَصٍ مِّنْهَا الْفُؤَادُ يَطِيرُ غُصَص literally means for something to get stuck in your throat. The loose translation of this couplet would be, when she gave birth to you, her life was on the line. Her life was on the line. وَكَمْ غَسَلَتْ عَنْكَ الْأَذَى بِيَمِينِهَا Today you find it below your dignity to take her shopping and patiently wait. How many a times, despite her being clad and dressed, there you messed up. And there you messed your diaper. And very patiently, calmly, she didn't look at her clothes. She didn't look at her jewelry. She got busy wherever she was. Whether she was in an airport, she was in a plane, she was at home. وَكَمْ غَسَلَتْ عَنْكَ الْأَذَى بِيَمِينِهَا Whether it was her right hand or her left hand, she had jewelry or she had mandi, she got into cleaning your stool and your feces. وَمَا حِجْرُهَا إِلَّا لَدَيْكَ سَرِيرُ And for the initial stages of your life, you had the soft mobile bed. Wherever you went, your bed was arranged. She had to look for a bed. You had a bed in a bus, you had a bed in a car, you had a bed in a plane. Her soft legs was your bed. وَتَفْدِيكَ مِمَّا تَشْتَكِيهِ بِنَفْسِهَا And let her find out that you experience in any pain. And now she stood at your bedside with all the resources she has to offer. Now her night is yours, her day is yours, her wealth is yours, her concern is yours. I mean, how often don't we see you walk into the house, especially when it's the first child and the mother is proud about her child. You walk in from there. There is this gesture that keep quiet. Why? The little one is sleeping. You are put under restriction because of this profound love of this mother for the child. وَتَفْدِيكَ مِمَّا تَشْتَكِيهِ بِنَفْسِهَا She offered everything that she had. وَمِن ثَدْيَيْهَا شُرْبٌ لَدَيْكَ نَمِيرٌ And now Allah created these fountains on her chest. So it's just not while she's pregnant, she can't take this tablet because it offends and hurts the fetus. While she's suckling, she must avoid gassy food. She must avoid this because the child is colic. The child will become restless. وَكَمْ مَرَّةً جَاعَتْ وَأَعْطَتْكَ قُوتَهَا حَنَانًا وَإِشْفَاقًا وَأَنْتَ صَغِيرٌ The poet says, it's impossible for me to count how many times your mother was hungry so that you could eat. And honestly, when you ate, she felt more satiated than when she ate herself. When you ate, when you drank, her thirst was quenched more than when she drank herself. You drinking quenched her thirst more than when she drank herself. حَنَانًا وَإِشْفَاقًا وَأَنْتَ صَغِيرٌ And the best part of it is, this happened in that part of your life to which you can't recall. وَأَنْتَ صَغِيرُ So even if you go down memory lane, you won't able to. You won't able to relate to this here. حَنَانًا وَإِشْفَاقًا وَأَنْتَ صَغِيرُ فَآهًا لِذِي عَقْلٍ وَيَتَّبِعُ الْهَوَى وَآهًا لِأَعْمَى الْقَلْبِ وَهُوَ بَصِيرُ Woe be to that so-called intelligent man who has forsaken his mother. Today the world is playing with words, speaking with a forked tongue. We were in one place in Australia, in Queensland, passing by. So not old age home, our parents' home. Who are we appeasing? Who are we appeasing? The same thing. Commit the same crime. Pop the pill, but call it a tranquilizer. Dump your parents, forsake your parents, our parents' home. And then the poet goes on to say, وَآهًا لِأَعْمَى الْقَلْبِ وَهُوَ بَصِيرُ Woe be to that person who is physically sighted but spiritually blinded. وَآهًا لِأَعْمَى الْقَلْبِ وَهُوَ بَصِيرُ And he concludes by saying, فَأَنْتَ لِمَا تَدْعُوا إِلَيْهِ فَقِيرُ. My brother, you don't need a better car. The poet is saying, in my humble words. You don't need a better car. You don't need a more palatial home. You don't have to upgrade the economic ladder. What you do need is, when mom tosses at night at 12 o'clock, for her to have a pleasant memory about you and say, Allah, wherever my Sulaiman is, wherever my Ibrahim is, help him and guide him. Whether he's in China for business, whether he's in America for deen, whether he's out in the path of Allah, wherever my son is, take care. The poet says, you need that, my brother, to rescue your life. You don't need to grow from one shop to another. Ibn Abi Dunya makes mention, I read the narration myself, I don't want to digress too much onto this here. We're speaking of Nabi alayhi salam's affection to seniors. And on that note, we're just touching on this here. And I said how he paid tribute to a slave girl. The character that Nabi alayhi salam exhibited. Ibn Abi Dunya makes mention of this in Makarimul Akhlaq. I read the kitab. One brother gave me this hadiah, may Allah reward him, an amazing kitab. On page 187, on page 187, listen to this narration. I was reading it. I couldn't put the kitab down. I could not. It was late in the night and I'm reading it. I was just captured. I was riveted by this read. A delegation from the Ash'ariyin came to Nabi alayhi salam. قَدِمَ عَلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَفْدٌ مِّنَ الْأَشْعَرِيِّينَ. A delegation came from the Ash'ariyin. Nabi alayhi salam said, أَمِنْكُمْ كَانَتْ وَحْرَةً. Was the lady Wahra from amongst you people? They said, yes, O Nabi of Allah, Wahra belonged to us. Nabi alayhi salam said, must I tell you the tale of this woman? They said, tell us. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ أَدْخَلَهَا الْجَنَّةَ بِبِرِّهَا لِوَالِدَتِهَا وَوَالِدَتُهَا مُشْرِكَةً. Allah gave this woman jannat because of her diligently serving her mother, notwithstanding the fact that her mother was a disbeliever. Then Nabi alayhi salam elaborated, I gave you the reference, there is the, you know, the whole academic write-up on the rawis and makhul and who heard from who and who dha'afahu, wathaqahu, the whole kalam is there. 187, Makarimul Akhlaq, Ibn Abi Dunya. Ughira ala hayyiha, they attacked that locality. Tarakuha wa ummaha. Tarakuha wa ummaha. They left this woman, Wahra, and her mother. She now needed to take care of her mother. That became priority in her life. You've graduated, you've moved into a new house, and your mother's just been diagnosed. Allah keep our moms healthy and safe. But circumstances has compelled you. Now what do you do? A brother phoned me once, he says, my dad is ill and I've got a commitment abroad. What should I do? I said, don't even consult. How could you ask me? Priority is the care of your parents. Nabi alayhi salam said, hamalatha. She carried her mother. تَشْتَدُّ بِهَا فِي الرَّمَضَاءِ. In the scorching heat. Carrying her mother on her back. And this woman, Wahra, had nothing. She was bare feet. فَإِذَا أَحْرَقَتْ قَدَمَاهَا. When due to the intensity of the heat, her feet would burn. أَجْلَسَتْهَا. She would be compelled to sit, so she would sit. Now what does she do with her mother when she sits? أَجْلَسَتْهَا فِي حِجْرِهَا. She would sit her mother down in her lap. بَسَتَتْ رِجْلَيْهَا. She would then spread her legs. وَجَعَلَتْ رِجْلَيْ أُمِّهَا عَلَى رِجْلَيْهَا. And then she would put her mother's legs on her legs. ثُمَّ حَنَتْ تُظِلُّهَا مِنَ الشَّمْسِ. She would then crouch over her mother, creating a human shield against the sun. فَإِذَا رَاحَتْ. When somehow they would rest, have a breather. حَمَلَتْهَا. She will put mom back on her back. حَتَّى نَجَّتْهَا. Until finally she would take mom to shelter and security. فَأَدْخَلَهَا اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ بِذَلِكَ الْجَنَّةِ. Because of that, Allah granted her entry into Jannah. Ibn Jabir, who is one of the narrators of the hadith, says, وَلَقَدْ أَدْرَكْتُ وَإِنَّهُ لَيُقَالْ لَوْ كُنْتُ أَبَرَّ مِنْ وَحْرَى. I seen people talking, this girl, She got a name for herself. People started saying, I wish I can be so kind to my mother like Wahra. Abu Mishar says, I heard the couplets of the Ash'ariyin tribe. One brother advised his children and he sang the couplets. An advice of my honorable father comes to mind. He always tells us this. He says, the time you lose your parents, you will never think of the moments they hurt you. But the moments you hurt them will haunt you till you die. May Allah reward him. He says, listen to me, my children. When you lose your parents, you will never think of the moment your mother refused you and your father denied you. But it will haunt you for the rest of your life. When your mom said, boy, can you take me for Umrah or buy me this? And you said, I am tight. And now the money is there, but my is gone. He said, that will make you cry and break your back till your qabr. So what did he say? Ala ablighan ayyuhal mughtadi baniya jami'an wa balligh banati bi anna wasati bi taqwa al-ilahi fahfadhu ma baqitum wasati wa kunu ka wahrata fi birriha tanalu al-karamata ba'da al-mamati wa qad ummaha bi shawaha al-ramidha wa qad alhaba al-qaydhu nar al-falati fadallat matiyataha حافيةً في الرمال من حذار العداة لترضي ربًا شديد القوى وتظفر من ناره بالنجاة فهذه وصاتي فكونوا لها طوال الحياة رعاة الرعاة. By Allah, I was sitting, I couldn't drop the kitab. I read this couple, I was so moved, I couldn't contain myself. He says, Allah, behold, abligan ayyuhal mughtadi, oh brother, moving in the morning, do me a favor, balligh baniya jami'an, abligan baniya jami'an, wa balligh banati. When you meet my son, whisper in his ears, and if you pass my daughters, tell them this year, bi anna wasati bi taqwal ilahi, that I met your father, he gave salams, and your father said, I must tell you children, and you must tell all your siblings, that your father advises you, fear Allah and honor this advice as long as you live. وَكُونُوا كَوَحْرَةَ فِي بِرِّهَا تَنَالُوا الْكَرَامَةَ بَعْدَ الْمَمَاتِ. And be kind to your parents like how Wahra was to her mother. Never mind the world, when your eyes close, you see what Allah does for you. See what Allah does for you. A humble observation that I have made, look at the life of any person. And look at the siblings. The son that's seen his parents, and in particular his mother, till today turns out to be the wealthiest of the children. Run your mind and apply it. And I've seen this phenomena across the Muslims and non-Muslims. Those that are kind to their parents, financially see their parents, Allah give them abundance in this world. وَكُونُوا كَوَحْرَةَ فِي بِرِّهَا. Be kind like how Wahra was. تَنَالُ الْكَرَامَةَ بَعْدَ الْمَمَاتِ. See what Allah does for you after your death. What did she do?
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.